Voices on Climate Justice. Audio reports on struggles for environmental justice. Interviews produced for broadcast on campus community radio stations globally, featuring voices from around the world engaged in frontline environmental struggles and key activists in international campaigns for climate justice. In this interview, we will hear from Elizabeth Peredo, director of the Foundation Solon in La Paz, Bolivia. Peredo speaks on the Cochabamba International Climate Justice Conference in 2011 that coalesced tens of thousands of activists from across the globe working on climate justice. In this interview, Peredo speaks on themes of ecological debt, outlining an anti-colonial critique on climate justice struggles in Bolivia and internationally. We will now turn to the interview with Elizabeth Peredo.
Well, I am Elizabeth Peredo. I come from Bolivia, and I work in the Solon Foundation. The Solon Foundation is an organization that already has been working in Bolivia for 16 years. And we work in two tracks. One of them is political action, and our issues are basically human rights, water rights, climate justice and trade, and also indigenous rights, in the fight against racism. And on the other track, we work a lot with culture, because Walter Solon, who gave his name to our foundation, was an artist, and he has been done at least 20 very nice murals in our country that are located in public buildings. And his murals recalls us the history of the indigenous peoples, the national revolution, the struggle to get back the oil to the people during the 30s, the 40s, and mostly the fight, the struggle against militar dictatorships during the 70s and the 80s.
When we talk about indigenous culture in Bolivia, this has a very important resonance historically and today. Can you talk about climate justice in Bolivia as it relates to the indigenous reality in the country?
Yes, of course. Well, Bolivia has a strong indigenous background. In fact, we are the most indigenous country in the region. 60% of the population, of our population, is indigenous. And the last 10 years, there have been very strong social movements, especially the indigenous, that claimed for a new constitution. And this new constitution recovered our identity. That's why we have, for the first time in history, an indigenous president. Our new constitution recognized 36 nationalities and languages. So it is very important, because our identity is being recovered. And something that they have learned to us is that we are part of the Pachamama. We interact with it, and we are part of it. And this is really a very important value, social value, that we have that help us to have a lecture on what is going on in the world with this climate injustice that has been brought by the developed countries. And it has to do a lot with occupation and colonization, because the climate justice is basically a call for equity, a call for share in an equitable way the resources, they used to call the resources of nature. But in our country, it's also a reflection on if we are really able to still call resources. We don't have to keep on doing that. So indigenous vision also claims us to review our concepts on nature, and thinking that Mother Earth, Pachamama, water, minerals are not natural resources. Mother Earth is not a resource, it's our home. So that's a very important concept that we have in our country, and it allows us to also to demand the developed countries to give us back the atmosphere space that has been occupied. The atmosphere has been occupied by the emissions of developed countries. You know, there is very few space that still remains to be used. And this is the big issue that has been discussed in the negotiations. So, but this shows us that the atmosphere has been occupied. Mm-hmm. So, as the same way as our territories, when the conquerors of Europe came to our territories, occupied our fields, our territories, our lives, and also our minds. So for us, climate justice has a lot to do with colonization. That's why our people is talking very strongly about decolonize the atmosphere, decolonize the Mother Earth.
In regards to understanding the ideas you put forward about decolonizing the environment and the atmosphere, in Bolivia, this process has gone beyond words into action. Mm-hmm. So maybe can you talk about the process to try to bring these ideas you're expressing, these environmental justice ideas rooted in decolonization, into action?
Yes, well, during the last 10 years, we have been living very strong changes, not only in the social meaning, in these social structures, and a little bit in the economical structures, but also in our minds. If you remember, probably this generation of changes began the 2000 with the water war in Cochabamba, where the population recovered our water resources from Bechtel company, a huge multinational that settled there under the frame of the World Bank policies in the change of part of our debt. And in that time, social movements began to talk about recovering our natural resources for ourselves, for our growth. And from 2000 and 2003, we have been struggling for that goals. And with this, the discourse of recovering the natural resources for our state and to keep our independence as country. But also in that time, indigenous movements and women especially began to say something very important that says, water is life. Water is basically life, it's not a commodity. And that was the first, how can I say, the first seed that we have got in order to change our minds and became not only a poor country, less developed, thinking in growing and to give back richness and to redistribute the richness in the people. But after that, during the 2003 until the 2007, the environmental and climate global crisis rose up. So we have been a knowledge of what is really going on in the world. And then that's why our constitutional process began to work and to think with many indigenous thinkers, activists, in other new meanings like the living well. The living will is a concept that is already installed in our constitution, as well as in the Ecuadorian institution, that means that we do not have to expect an endless growth of society, that is not possible. That something that Mahatma Gandhi said also, what is given in nature is not for everybody's needs, but not for everybody's greed. And that's really important. That's the basic concept of living well. And it has a lot of political implications because we have to rethink development, rethink welfare, thinking that we are an amount of people in this world. that cannot expect to have the same life as Rockefeller. I mean, to buy the North American dream of success. We have to stop that. That's not possible. That's not totally not possible. When you analyze this concept from the all the scientific data that are coming from the footprint analysis, it is totally clear. There are countries in the world, especially the developed countries like the USA, Australia, Canada, Japan, that are over-consuming the planet. And if all the people in this world would live at the same level of consumption, we would need probably 4 or 5 planets to keep that. That is not possible. So this concept now is growing in our country. And it's beginning to find some laws, some public politics in order to apply. It is hard. I have to recognize that it is really hard because the system is so strong. It's a monster. It's a big monster. And there are still a lot of institutions that still are working in our country, lots of big companies that are still working, but we are trying to change it. And last month, the indigenous organizations have proposed a law. It's the Mother Earth Law. And we just approved that. And it's very interesting. It has 4 or 5 principles that are trying to put in practice this meaning into our laws. So, of course, it's going to be a hard way to put them in practice, but at least it's the first time where a country is trying to put in laws a new concept in order to build a new governance system. At the local level, of course, but also there is a huge reflection in all the world, and now it is taking place in the United Nations, in thinking on how to rebuild, reconstruct the balance between humankind and Mother Earth. And that is coming from this knowledge, for indigenous knowledge. It's coming from women's experiences, from activist experience, because this concept of Mother Earth and of balance, of being part of an holistic system, is not only indigenous. I have been activating for many years, almost 15 years, working with many people, women, grassroots organizations all over the world. I am totally convinced that this is a very worldwide concept that can sustain the change we need now to stop this destructive pathway that capitalism and Western civilizations has led to us.
Bolivia has been very critical of the United Nations framework on climate change. The summits that have recently happened and caught global media attention in Copenhagen, then in Cancun. Can you maybe explain some of the ideas behind the critique of this United Nations process and the alternative summit that was put forward in Bolivia last year?
Bolivia is one of the countries that inside the UNFCCC, the Convention of Climate of United Nations, has put in the debate the concept of climate debt. And now it's not only Bolivia that is talking about that, but also the G77 and the ALBA group. There are many countries inside the negotiations that are convinced that there is a climate debt, because it's precisely what I began saying in this interview. Climate debt has to do with how much of the atmospheric space has been taken by developed countries. And it has to do with historical emissions. That's why Bolivia is calling to pay the climate debt through strong cuts of emissions. And they have proposed strong cuts from 50% to even 100% until 2050, which is needed. And scientists are saying that even though if we could to zero the emissions, the impacts are going to still remain in the planet, because the glaciers melting has no solution. They are melting, and they are going to be melting for the next 15 years. also the level of the sea is rising and it's putting in danger many islands. Tuvalu, for instance, has been very strong in the last talks in Bangkok, telling that they are losing their territory, they are losing their place to live. So that's why Bolivia is talking about climate debt emissions. It's talking in climate debt in development, because since other countries have used this space, there is less possibilities for countries like ours to build some kind of development, I mean some kind of infrastructure, like the access to energy, the access to roads, the access to water, the access to some kind of resilient cities that you simply cannot build without polluting. So there is something very, very strong. That's why Bolivia is talking also of a developing debt, because there is a developing way or process that we haven't been able to accomplish because of this inequity. The other element that is inside the climate justice concept or climate debt is the debt of habitability, immigration, because climate events in countries as Bolivia are moving lots of people from their places. Last month we just have La Niña in our region. La Niña is a weather event in our region that is formed by the currents of the oceans, and it has been really savage. So we have had strong rainfalls and very hard, and in La Paz a geological failure has been activated by these strong rains, and almost 6,500 families have been lost their homes. They lost their homes. They don't have where to live. 14 neighborhoods just fell down. Luckily, we did not have any dead people because it has been slowly. But it also destroyed our connections of water. So beside those 6,500 families affected without homes, 100,000 people had suffered the lack of water for months because all the system has been broken. So this is a huge impact, and it has to do with our expenses, because who is going to pay that? The only that we have to pay are the Bolivian state, the Bolivian government, with our resources that probably can be used in redistributing our resources to other people. So that's really very strong. And when those tragedies happen, people do not think who is the guilty. Do not think that the USA is not committed to the Kyoto Protocol. It's not thinking on how much Canada, Australia, Japan, or the European Union have been polluted the air and changed the weather, changed the climate in the world. The first that we think in that moment is how to save lives, how to face tragedy.
It's a crisis.
It's a crisis.
Yeah.
So, in a part, that's a good thing, because you say that there is still people in the world that can develop solidarity and sorrow and this empathy between humans to save the world. But at the same time, I am afraid to say that it's part of the calculations that developed countries are doing, because they know exactly that the developing countries are going to suffer the most and at the first steps. So this is a very perverse calculation that we feel they are doing, because they don't care. When they are gathered to negotiate climate, to negotiate the shared vision and the Kyoto Protocol and financing issues and transfers of technology, they do not link what is going on in the world with these tragedies. And it is not something that I am just figuring out. It is totally clear when you see the UK Weather Department. They made a scenario of 4 degrees. And when you see it in the internet, it is totally frightening. It's a catastrophe in the world. And they know that. Why do they don't want to tell us the truth? We really demand them to tell us the truth. And I was thinking on what is going on in the world and what happened in Japan with Fukushima and all this tragedy that they are living. And in some way, that is really a kind of metaphor, what is going on in all over the world. The Japanese people has been all the time facing the hiding of information. One day this is a tragedy, one day we are controlling it, one day we are going to fix that, the other day technology is going to bring it, come up, let's use more water, don't drink water, the next day you can drink water, the next day you can't drink, you can't eat vegetables. So we are living the same, but in a very hidden way. So I'm really very worried about this, because climate debt and climate justice is about lives. It's about lives, and it's about the survival of our civilization. They don't care, because they prefer to keep on their wellness, their greedness, just for few people, just for the elites. Because also in developed countries, you can see many people that is suffering in different ways. They are losing their jobs, they are losing their homes, they are losing their public services, and that's part of the same problem. So I really think that climate change is a mirror of the system.
You've been listening to an interview with Elizabeth Peredo, director of the Foundation Solon in La Paz, Bolivia. For more information, visit www.fundsalon.org. That's www.funsalon.org. This interview was recorded and produced for the Voices on Climate Justice series for broadcast on campus community radio stations globally by Stefan Christoph. Music for this series provided by DJ Moonstar of Public Transit Records, Canada.